Okay, so let's unpack this South African National Veldt & Forest Fire Amendment Bill of 2013. And, to set the stage for our deep dive today, when we say veld, we're really talking about the wide-open, uncultivated grasslands of Southern Africa.
Right, exactly.
Our mission here is to look at how a nation legally engineers its defense against these massive environmental threats. I mean, the core shift in this text is that the national government is now acting as the public trustee of the country's forestry resources.
Yeah, it's a fundamental shift in liability, honestly. The government isn't just acting as a land manager anymore. They are legally bound to protect that natural environment for current and future generations.
Wow.
Yeah, so if the environment degrades, the state has fundamentally failed its legal duty.
So it's less like managing a national park and more like, well, a strict legal guardianship where the government is legally on the hook if anything goes wrong, which I guess explains the incredibly aggressive approach they take on the ground level.
Precisely. Because the national government holds that ultimate liability, they have to guarantee that action actually happens locally. They do this through fire protection associations or FPAs.
Okay, FPAs.
Right. And what's fascinating here is the bill takes a very hard line. If you own state land or manage a municipality, you don't get a polite invitation to join your local FPA. You are legally forced to join.
Wait, I have to push back on that mechanism a bit. Like, if a local municipality is already struggling with basic service delivery or, tight budgets, how does forcing them into a fire protection group actually prevent fires?
Well, that's where the enforcement comes in.
Because the text notes that failing to join within a reasonable time is explicitly bumped up to a first category offense. Does that mean municipal managers are facing actual criminal charges just for missing a deadline?
It actually does. That is the reality of a first category offense. It represents the highest level of severity under this specific legal framework.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it carries the steepest penalties, which could include massive fines or even imprisonment for the responsible officials.
Imprisonment, just over a fire association.
Exactly. The logic behind the law is that you simply cannot opt out of environmental protection when you manage public land. By criminalizing the failure to prepare, the national government is essentially forcing local authorities to prioritize fire defense over other budget constraints.
It's a mechanism of force liability. Okay, so you're criminalizing local governments for failing to prep. But how does the central government actually know if a provincial executive, like an MEC or a local mayor, is really doing the work?
Right, instead of just falsifying some compliance forms, you mean?
Exactly.
Well, that is the exact vulnerability the bill tries to patch. The minister delegates a lot of power down to those MECs, the members of the executive council running the provinces and local municipalities.
Right. Here's where it gets really interesting, because it's almost like a corporate franchise model. They delegate the power, but then install a massive audit team to watch them.
Yeah, the newly established Forestry Resources Review Board. It's a highly specialized, independent tribunal. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the requirements to sit on this board show how seriously they take the threat of political capture.
Tell me about those requirements, because they seemed really intense in the source text.
They are. The chairperson needs an LOB degree and 15 years of high-level legal experience. So they basically need to be a retired judge or a senior advocate.
Wow. But what about the rest of the board? I feel like these committees, they often end up packed with political allies to shield the local governments from getting in trouble.
Well, the bill explicitly cuts off that loophole. The other three members need 15 years of specific forestry and resource management experience.
Okay, so actual experts.
Exactly. And more importantly, they cannot have been employed by the government in the past 5 years.
Well, so you're locking out recent politicians entirely to guarantee the board is truly independent?
Yes. The goal is to have unbribable, independent experts holding the government accountable. Decentralization of power only works if the oversight has actual teeth and just cannot be politically influenced.
Which makes sense. But if I'm a local landowner or a municipal manager, the sheer weight of this bureaucracy sounds terrifying. I mean, you've got strict mandates, first category offenses hanging over your head, supreme review boards. How is the average citizen supposed to keep track of these rules so they don't end up accidentally committing a major crime?
The legislators actually recognize that complexity. To counter it, the bill mandates absolute transparency. An electronic version of the act and all its regulations must be updated monthly.
Monthly. That's a lot of administrative work.
It is, yeah. And it has to be made available to you, the public, completely free of charge. The idea is that you cannot comply with a law you cannot access.
Which is crucial, especially when you look at one subtle but massive change buried at the end of the
At the
text.
Wildfire definition.
Yes. The bill subtly changes the definition of a Veldfire. It used to just mean a fire in the open veld forest or mountains. Now it means any vegetation fire on any area of land, whether it's cultivated or uncultivated.
The expansion of scope there is just staggering.
It really is. I mean, if the legal definition of a major environmental hazard expands to include a tiny brush fire in a cultivated backyard, how does that completely redefine our individual, everyday responsibility to nature?
It changes everything. We really aren't just bystanders to national policy anymore.
Exactly. Just a little something for you to ponder the next time you strike a match.